Mr. President, first of all, let me just say, for starters, I will be supporting the bill that we have today. It doesn't go far enough, though. You know, what we ought to do is opening up everything. I'm talking about the Pacific, the Atlantic, the Gulf, the North Slope, the public lands. That's what we really need to be doing. I know there are some reasons why they're confining it to the Gulf in terms of this legislation, and while I respect that, again, it doesn't go far enough. Let me just make one comment about yesterday's vote. I think when people, right now, the single issue they have in terms of energy is the price of gas at the pumps. I know this isn't just my wife, they're all that way. And I can see that. But when the Democrats came up with their bill last night, I hope people will remember who was voting for this. That was for a major tax increase on what they call big oil. Now, big oil, those are the five biggest oil companies, but nonetheless, you know, and I hate to say this, but sometimes you walk on the floor with half-truths and get by with it, and people will assume that that's true. And as much as I love my fellows on the other side, some of the things that were stated were just totally inaccurate. To say that the big five don't pay taxes, they pay huge taxes here. And I don't know where they come up with some of these numbers. I'm going to single out one company here, ExxonMobil, and just tell you something that you're not aware of, Mr. President, because it hasn't been said on the floor yet. In 2010, ExxonMobil's total tax expenses in the United States were $9.8 billion. That's what they paid in taxes, 2010. That includes income tax expense and more than of $1.6 billion. That $9.8 billion in taxes exceeded the 2010 U.S. operating earnings of $7.5 billion. Now, what we're saying is they paid $9.8 billion in taxes. They only received $7.5 billion in terms of earnings from the United States. Now, why is that? It's because about 80% of their operations are in other countries. They're in countries, 100 different countries. Not one of the other countries charges taxes when they go offshore there. We're the only country, I believe, we're the only country that charges a United States tax on production that takes place in some other country. Now, for that reason, if you just single out, if we tax them like most people do, it would have been a tax credit and not a tax at all. But nonetheless, they were accountable for paying taxes that year of $9.8 billion. Now, look at this year. That was 2010. During the first quarter of this year, our U.S. operating earnings of this particular company were $2.6 billion. That's the first quarter of 2011. The rest of their earnings, more than $8 billion, came from operations in more than 100 countries worldwide. Now, here's a number we won't hear in Washington. During the first quarter of on those earnings, U.S. earnings, of $2.6 billion, they incurred a tax expense and paid a tax of $3.1 billion. Now, they're paying more than they're getting out of this country. And I think that sooner or later you have to come up and just tell the truth of what's happening. It's all class warfare, and I think we know that. Big, bad oil, you know, they're all bad. And yet, you know, we have a lot of production in my state of Oklahoma. We have companies like Devon and others, Anadarko, who are really doing a lot to relieve this problem. And I know what's going to happen if they were. It didn't pass, obviously, and it's not going to pass. But if it had, then the next target would be some of the smaller domestic companies. I remember coming down to the floor last year when our good senator from Vermont had a bill, and he was bringing it up by UC, and I just happened to get here in time to stop it and debate it and defeat it. And now that bill, they even used and held up a picture of a check from ExxonMobil as to what their tax liabilities were. Totally wrong, in my opinion, and apparently in the opinion of 61 of the 100 senators, because they joined me in opposing that particular legislation. Now, we have a solution to the problem. This is not a rocket science. I mean, right now we have, and I've said on the floor many, many times, that it just happened in the last 8 months, Congressional Research Service, nobody has stood on the floor and questioned the fact that they're nonpartisan, they are objective, and they looked at it. Our recoverable reserves in coal, oil, and gas are greater in America than any other country in the world. Now, we have those recoverable reserves. The problem is we have a political problem where the liberals here, will, and along with the liberals in the White House, including the president, will not exploit our own resources. We have all of that oil and gas and coal that's out there. We could be totally independent of the Middle East, totally, in a very short period of time if we just go offshore and on all three coasts along with the north area, Anwar, and with our public lands. And as I say, every other country does it. And so you have to wonder, why don't we do it? Why is it that we don't care about supplying ourselves with homegrown oil, gas, and coal and taking care of our own energy needs? We have the ability here, but the politicians won't let us do it. Well, there's one reason, and that is, that, and this is really disturbing, that in the case of this administration, they don't want to do it. I mean, this administration has said many times that they are not interested. Listen to what Alan Krueger, Assistant Secretary of Treasury, said: a tax subsidies, subsidies that they're not subsidized, these are tax increases, tax subsidies that are currently provided to the oil and gas industry lead to inefficiency by encouraging an overinvestment on of domestic resources in industry. And secondly, he says this administration believes that it is no longer sufficient to address our nation's energy needs by finding more fossil fuels. Well, look, you know, I'm all for I'm for coal, gas, oil, I'm for nuclear, I'm for all of the above, all of the renewables, wind, sun, and everything else. But we've got to run this machine today, tomorrow, and the next 5 and 10 years. You can't do that without fossil fuels. Further, they stated the administration's goal is to have resources invested in ways which yield the highest social return. Social return. Well, this is a totally different thing. Not an economic return, not the ability to run our country ourselves, but some kind of a social engineering that is going on. The best quote, really, and the most telling, is the one that came from Secretary Chu, the Energy Secretary for President Obama. Now listen to this, Mr. President. He said, we are going to have to get some sort of regulatory thing going on hydraulic fracturing. And he said, and this is a quote, that somehow, listen to this, somehow we have to figure out how to boost the price of gasoline to the levels in Europe. Now this is our administration saying this. This is the Secretary of Energy. It's appointed by President Obama. Somehow we have to figure out how to boost the price of gasoline to levels in Europe. They're intentionally raising the price of gas, and it's by their own admission. And we were warned way back during the campaign when President Barack Obama was a United States Senator. He said, under my plan of cap and trade system, electricity rates would necessarily skyrocket. So we have an effort by them, and I would just warn my good friends on the Democrat side of the aisle, you know, watch this pretty close, because just because the president wants to increase the price of oil, doesn't mean that your constituents do. In fact, I can assure you, your constituents do not. And that's just something really unusual about my state of Oklahoma. Let's see what the CRS report said in a little bit more specifically. They said in the updated report, this is since the one I just talked about, America's combined recoverable oil and coal and gas endowment is the largest on Earth. America's recoverable resources are far larger than those of Saudi Arabia, China, and Canada combined. That's the resources we have in oil, coal, and gas. In oil, America's the world's largest, third largest oil producer, and is endowed with 163 billion barrels of recoverable oil, which will run the United States of America for 50 years. We can run it. All the oil that we'll need for 50 years, we've got it. We just got to get the politicians out of the way so we can produce it. Natural gas, and in terms of trillions of cubic feet, America's future supply of natural gas is over 2,000 trillion cubic feet, an increase of more than 25% just since the committee's 2006 estimate. At today's rate of use, this is enough natural gas to meet America's demand for 90 years. Now, keep in mind, natural gas is not just natural gas for to develop energy, but also natural gas is something that we're going to be using in our cars today. It's available, and they're working on technology. We're working on the certification of engines that will burn natural gas. And when we are, it's going to be relieve that tension also. Right now, the price of a comparable gallon of natural gas to run an automobile is $1.60 a gallon. $1.60 as opposed to $4 a gallon. So it's out there. That's natural gas. Now, in natural gas, I have to say this. The president made a speech, and I responded on a couple of TV stations. This was probably 3 weeks ago, Mr. President. It was on energy, and he said in that speech, we have an abundant supply of good, clean, natural gas. We need to be using it. Then at the end of that speech, he said, however, we have to be very careful what we're going to be doing because we don't want to contaminate our drinking water with hydraulic fracturing. Well, I happen to come from Oklahoma. The first hydraulic fracturing job in Oklahoma was done in 1948. We have not had one documented case of groundwater contamination ever since 1948, 60 years. And yet, right now, they're going to stop us from going after natural gas by taking away hydraulic fracturing. Now, hydraulic fracturing in these tight formations, the shale formations, you can't develop a cubic foot of natural gas without using hydraulic fracturing. It's a way of inserting liquids in to force the gas out so that we can develop it. And so it's there. So what's the president is saying, well, we need to use natural gas, but we don't want to use hydraulic fracturing. And there's an effort right now by many members in here to try to take that over as a federal function, the regulation of hydraulic fracturing. Right now, there's never been a problem with it. It's rated, it's regulated differently in different states. For example, in my state of Oklahoma, in the Anadarko Basin, you're talking about depths of some 35,000 feet. You go just north into Kansas, it's between 3,000 and 4,000 feet. So it's different in different states. It needs different regulation. It's not broken. We don't need to fix it. Now, what has the president done? He has put Secretary Chu in charge of determining what we're going to do with hydraulic fracturing. Well, that's Secretary Chu. He's the same guy that said that we've got to raise the price of our gasoline to be comparable to the gasoline price in Europe. So that's the wrong guy for that kind of a study. And besides that, I would remind you, Mr. President, that we actually have a study that's going on right now by the Environmental Protection Agency on hydraulic fracturing that isn't through yet. It seemed to me that we ought to at least finish and get this study before you rush in there and try to pass something that will stop us from being able to develop our natural gases. Same thing I could say for coal. America is number one in coal reserves. Right now, people aren't aware of it. We are reliant upon coal for 50% of the power that it takes to run this machine called America. America is number one in coal resources, accounting for more than 28% of the world's coal. So we have it here. We have gas. We have coal. We have oil. All we have to do is develop what we have. You know, how many people in America who have gone through elementary school don't remember supply and demand? We have a huge supply, and there's a great demand for it. But we have our politicians who won't let us develop our supply. And as long as that happens, it is going to be very difficult for us to make it happen. So I would just say this. There's a wake-up call here for the American people. We have a vote this afternoon. It's not good enough. I'm going to vote for it. But we ought to be opening up our exploration, our production, all over America. And to do that, we have to go beyond this bill. This is a start, and it's a start that is worthwhile. With that, I will yield the floor and suggest the absence of a quorum.
Clerk will call the roll.